Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Mr. G.L. Harden, and thank you all for tuning in. We have a wonderful show scheduled for you on this Sunday afternoon. It's been a while since we've been on, but we're glad to be back and sharing some wonderful insights with you all. And this show is simply titled, Why I Quit on God. And before I get into that, we're going to be talking about a few of the things that have been transpiring early in the week and throughout the week that really has been meeting the headline news. Again, thank you for tuning in to this broadcast, and we're going to just dive right into it. So, as you may or may not know, President Donald Trump has been in Italy this past week at the G7 summit, and he has really been making a spectacle of himself, so to speak, and really alienating a lot of the other countries, neighboring countries, and our allies. He went and told the summit and that they needed to pay more money into the defense fund. And then, of course, I think on Tuesday or Wednesday is when they were preparing to take a photo of all the leaders, and Donald Trump, again, he shoves another leader of his country out of the way, all caught on TV, of course. And then also the scene with his wife, Melania Trump, shoving his hand away as he tried to hold her hand. And now his son-in-law, I forgot his first name, Kushner, has some issues going on dealing with Russia. So with that alone, we know that we are really in a dismal state, if you will. We don't know the future of America at this time. We really don't. And they're even talking about the collapse of the dollar that's on the horizon. And many people have said that's why they put Donald Trump in the White House, because he is such a character that he would surely warn the violent nation, but also he would distract the nation from what the global elites have been trying to do for almost 40 years. And they tried it in 2007 with a failed attempt, and they're back at it again 7 years later, 10 years later, trying to do it, but even worse. And even the guru, Tony Robbins, he predicted a few days ago that there would be a fall of the dollar and a recession that will be worse than what we had in 2007 and 2008. And now you have issues with food contaminations and water contaminations and the privatization of water that they're also trying to do. So you can see on all sides they're trying to, and I'm talking about the global elites along with the idiots that call themselves Democrats and Republicans, because they're so naive, so amazing that folk say, oh, I don't believe in God. I don't think there's a God. But they damn sure believe in their politicians. Think about that. You don't believe in a God, but you will believe in a man that will tell you anything you want to hear just to get what he wants. Sounds like a no good man to me. So here it is, a Republican yelling smaller government. And while the global elites, again, are preparing for World War III, globally, people, don't you ever get it twisted. But don't think Russia is our enemy. China is our enemy. This is a global attempt to move and usher in martial law. They've already got a military that's already over here, over our military. They already got police to police our police. This is not a game. This is not a game. And white folks, our white brothers and sisters, those days of being naive and having cognitive dissonance, those days are over. So they're gunning for you too. Oh yeah, they've been using the race thing for hundreds of years. But the ultimate goal is to have total control over everybody. Everybody. Our millennials, God bless them. Not all of them, but most of us, they don't even know what's ahead of them. They have no clue of what's about to happen because they only live for the moment. And anything that's beyond 10 years to them, they feel they don't have to know. And I don't blame them. I blame these new age parents with all the Oprah mindsets and all that. Well, let them express themselves. Let them do what they want. Kids need guidance. They need directions. They need rules. You don't want to give them to them. But yet, again, you allow a government to give them to them. So amazing, man. I mean, you got this thing all twisted, man. No God, but I believe my politician. No rules, but I got to obey the law or go to jail. You got this thing all twisted, man. And what's missing in this whole scenario, people, is quite simple. God. Yet many religions have failed our youth. Why? For the love of power, prestige, and money. And therefore, God is just a figurine placed on a mantle just for decorations. And which leads me, again, to the title of why I quit on God. And no, it's not what you think. However, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. This and much more when we come back from a brief break after these messages. Back in a moment.
Metro Atlanta, Georgia area features professional hair care, head care, and beauty supply products for all occasions. Located on the corner of Alpharetta Highway and Oakland Bridge Road, PD&K provides hair care services for braiding, sew-in, cornrow, and much, much more. Call today and make an appointment or stop by and see us. One people, one community.
PD&K Beauty Supply, designed with you in mind.
Family-owned and operated, God-driven.
Thank you.
Back. That was a wonderful song for my dear brother, LaShawn Mitchell, song that he titled Joy. And I love what he says. He says, there's beauty in my brokenness. It's a powerful, powerful song. But I want you guys to hear just a snippet of that song. because it talks about what's going on today. But still, in all, there's beauty in our brokenness. I saw this story, a wonderful story, dealing with the plight of African Americans and black banks, and the fact that we don't really put our dollars where our mouth is as far as committing to black banks. And the reason being, again, is because when you go to try to open a business of some kind, I'm talking to people of color, and you don't own a home. Hell, you don't own anything, and but a car maybe, if that. And you have a great business plan, A1 credit. When you enter one of these white banks, regardless of what you might have an 800 credit score. By the time they get done with you, they're going to break you down so low because of the fact that, one, you're not going to get the loan. Two, they're going to look you in your eye and tell you you don't even qualify. And I just said your credit score was 800. Great credit history. And yet all the while, with all these things I open up with talking about, and I'm going to talk about some things that's going on in Baltimore as well as in D.C., in that area, Chicago as well, of how they're moving people out of those neighborhoods. And they used to move you out to one place to another. They done got so gangster, they just move you out. They don't give a damn where you go. But you got to get the hell up out of here. And yet all the while, we're spending, I see these young ladies all on social media. And they're in California, Miami, Atlanta. And I'm looking at these sisters. And everything that they got from their hair to their feet is foreign. Foreign hair, foreign makeup, foreign clothing, foreign shoes, foreign purses, and foreign accessories. Nothing black on. And that's the way we give to these Europeans and other wealthy people who really don't give a damn about you. And many of them have came out and Tommy Hilfiger and said that they don't, that they don't make their clothes, even Victoria's Secret. They don't make their clothes for you or your underwear. It's for white folks. Tommy Hilfiger and what's the other guy? Timberlands. That guy came out years later after he's made billions of dollars on a freaking work boot. Timberlands are simply a work boot, man, that black folks have made into a style, particularly rappers. Timberlands. And he ain't never used Jay-Z or nobody to do a commercial by the shoes because nowhere, they don't need to. Black folks, you are a walking billboard. They don't even have to cater to you. Polo, all of them. So a lot of the things that we're about to face, man, you're bringing it on yourself. You're bringing it on yourself because you're not putting anything back into those communities. You're not buying black. People are opening up stores and businesses all throughout the communities, black businesses. They go in there. It don't look professional. It don't. Let me tell you something. You go from New York City to Atlanta, Georgia, California. Some Indians and Arabs and whatever Asians and whatnot, and Jews come to our neighborhood in those old bodegas or little convenience stores. They ragged as hell, and you know they are. The whole freaking window is filled up with either Playboy or cigarettes or beer. To me, it's a trunk. It's a trunk, like pigs. Because all they primarily sell is smut, crack pipes, smut magazines, cigarettes, wine, beer, and them gambling machines they got in there. The trough. What do you do to a pig? A pig will eat anything. You just take the slop and throw it in the trough. He don't care what it is. And we have been led for decades into these stores like pigs to a trough, eating their garbage. Even the food be bad, outdated, old. Because you don't come for the food. You come for the mess. That's why I played that song by Vashawn Mitchell, and he says, there's beauty in my brokenness. People, we are broken, confused, and lost. And what's missing in this whole thing is God. Oh, we got so conscious now and spiritual now that we don't need God. I'm a God. I create my own destiny. But yet you're still going uptown shopping to the white sports bars with your Timberlands, your polo shirt on, but you a God. God is a divine being. How dare you even consider yourself being a God when you're living like a pig in a trough? That's what they created in these communities with the drugs and all that and the guns. It's a trough, whatever you want to call it. And we the pigs. And what do you eventually do to a pig? You fatten them up to do what? To kill it. Slaughter. And just like what's happening with these young brothers who are missing with body parts, what do they do to you? Pig feet, ham, pork chops, pigtails, body parts. If I come to say, if we don't wake up, man, soon, and begin to galvanize in these communities, get organized, start a meeting at somebody's house. Don't go to the library. Somebody's house. If it's only four of you right now, fine, but get it started. Begin growing your own food, finding out how you can buy land, property. Preferably something with clean water. But it's going to come a time when you depending on the government to feed you, the Walmarts and the Krogers and all those Publix and stores, they're going to be gone, brother, and so out of your community. And you'll be left to slaughter. So amazing. So I'm going to play this insert by the Ideal Sister Angela Rye. And they did a lecture, I think last month, that she was a part of at the National Urban Leagues. And it was talking about the state of Black America, just a few days ago. And she was primarily talking about Black banks. And let's hear what the sister had to say, Ideal Sister again, Angela Rye.
So understand how
big
this thing is. And at $23.09 billion in small business loans handed out from 2013, African Americans only got $285 million of that $23.09 billion. Part of the problem is that when African American businesses were going in to get loans, the only collateral they had was their home. No home, no loan, no business.
And this is one of those these issues that now, the more that I look at it, it really bothers me that we haven't learned from history. There's a speech, and I keep going back to this, and I've cited it in several speeches. I delivered this speech in 1967, Where Do We Go From Here? In that speech, he tells us that we need to lean into our own institutions. Those institutions are Black banks. Those institutions are Black businesses, our community organizations. Hunker down and support ourselves. Why? Because far too often, the large banks that benefited from the disastrous housing crisis, that did not look out for us, that were borderline criminals, that would not lend to us through this small business program. The 7A program is bolstered by those large banks. It's not bolstered by the Stephen Smith. If our banks had our resources in it, if we were banking Black, then they would not have been slaughtered in the 2008 recession. If we were banking Black, we would have access to capital because they lent to us, with my bank, for example, did not lend. at a black-owned bank, I encourage you to do that today.
Again, that's our dear sister, Angela Rye, at that National Urban convention they had not too long ago. And I tell you, man, this thing is, you know, a lot of people, shout out to Boyce Watkins and a lot of other people are really trying to get black folks to really to participate in some form of investing in themselves, their families, and their future. I went to a convention not so long ago that at this convention, they actually showed the movie Black Friday. Wonderful movie if you had not seen it yet, Black Friday. And at the end of the lecture, they talked about how we as a people can begin to galvanize and really create black wealth. And many of the constituents and the panel was talking about buying black and understanding that your dollar is so important. I cannot emphasize that enough to you. You got to stop taking this thing like your dollar. I mean, it's so amazing. Black folks spend almost, I think, $3.5 billion on liquor. Damn near $4 billion on cell phones a year. A year. $3 billion on sneakers. A year. Nearly $5 to $6 billion on hair and hair care products a year. And between, let me get it right, between November, Thanksgiving, and New Year's Eve, black folks spend roughly $40 to $60 billion in a six-week span. Why don't white folks have this here? Good God Almighty. What a great year it is. And then you go back, come January, look at each other, looking crazy as hell. In your new terminals, your new phone. Or, oh yeah, and $2.5 billion a year on games, Xbox and stuff. So amazing, man. Truly amazing. I think $11 billion going to the movies. We got to change this thing, man. We really do. This wonderful article I read, man, real quick. This article I read in the Greater Washington, talks about.
A 25-year resident of our district
talks
about Fulton County's budget without raising taxes. A Secretary of State handled bought voter fraud. Karen Handel, a proven fighter for Georgia, and
I'm trying to figure out where the heck that's coming from. But even so, it's coming from the Greater Washington, and it talks about we're already in jail, evictions and private policing at Brooklyn Manor. This article, again, was written a few days ago, and you're talking about the Brooklyn Manor. It's a series that they're doing about the Brooklyn Manor in D.C. And it's a controversial development project just east of Rhode Island Metro Station that epitomizes the complex dynamics of building housing, especially affordable housing in D.C. And some tenants of Brooklyn Manor, state management, and the former security company mistreated them, and that the owner who wants to develop the property is trying to push them out. And this post takes a look at those allegations. And a recap of that is that Brooklyn Manor is a 20-acre apartment complex just north of Rhode Island Metro Station, and the owner of the site, Mid-City Financial Corporation, has plans to redevelop it. Most of the current tenants are low income and receive government rental assistance of some sort. They have questions about how much affordable housing the new project will have. A government contract that will expire later this year stipulates that the 373 Brooklyn Manor 521 available apartments must be rented to low income tenants. remaining roughly 150 apartments have low market rate rents, which has allowed people who hold government housing vouchers, meaning they also don't make very much money, to live at Brooklyn Manor for decades. And this city says that those apartments don't count as affordable housing. So basically what they're trying to do, people, is they're trying to, the owner, they're trying to get these people out of there to redevelop that into these condos and high-rises for the millennials, the Asians and the white ones primarily, the Arabs, but maybe one or two black folks, but that's about it. But they're doing this all over, man. They're doing it in Atlanta, D.C., Baltimore, Chicago, Miami, definitely San Francisco. They're moving them out, man. And what they're understanding, and again, no disrespect to our young people. What these old little farts know is this: young folks, they don't really care. You know, they don't really care what happened before, what happened in the past, because they live so much in the now. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to group people in a huge area, because once they start mass destruction, it's easy to kill. When you got a whole bunch of people living in one area, so these people stay alive, and these people we knock off. And the same thing is going on in Baltimore. I'm gonna play this insert about what's going on in Baltimore, man. And my whole objective for the show is to get people to understand something. When I say I quit on God, what I mean is, with all these things going around, all these calamities, I begin to say, you know what, God? I'm going to give this thing to you. Because there's nothing I can do about it. But move according to your will. I didn't say sit there and pray, that's it, because a lot of folks think, I'm just going to pray. No, sometimes, most of the time when you pray, after you get off your knees, now you got to go and activate and walk that thing out. Anytime in the Bible, before people began to go to war or to fight, even the wall of Jericho, they fasted and they prayed first. And then they got up and they moved. And because of their movement, they were able to bring down walls, pull down strongholds. Anytime you have something going on in your life, in your community, that seems to be unbearable, instead of retaliating and throwing bottles and burning up your own neighborhoods and stores, and you turn around, now you're mad because you got to go 40 miles out to go get a gallon of milk. You give that thing to God. And say, like I told God, I quit. It's on you, man. You got to move on this thing. Because it's too big for me. It's going to take a mighty move of God. And what I'm telling you, as a community, as a family, and in the body of Christ, whether you believe or not, but rest assured, you're going to have to pull yourself together, begin to stand on one accord, begin to plan strategically, and then move strategically, because you're facing something that I don't think anybody's ready for. But you got to get ready. And you can't keep going to churches and shouting and hollering and screaming, crying on Sunday and back to work and see on Monday. That ain't of God. That's not the living God. God didn't give you the spirit of fear. So I don't know what you're praying to, what you're crying to, but that's a waste of your time, because in that church, If you go to a church like that and you walk out the same way you came in there, God wasn't in that church. I'm telling you now. Begin to group yourselves, man. Coming together as one. Meeting on a regular basis. In secret. Praying in secret. Putting your dollars together. Create a community store where you grow your own herbs and fruits and or vegetables and sell them to the community. You own and control that store in that community. I know a lot of sisters who make purses and clothes and jewelry and sisters. No excuse, man. Begin creating your own stuff. Buying from each other. Wearing your own product. Thorns hit. Ain't no truck going to pull up in no urban community with water, with food. They're going to come with tanks and guns to load you up and to haul you off to some concentration camp. And this is not a message of fear. Because again, God never gave you a spirit of fear. God gave Joseph a dream. Joseph shared that dream. And that dream came into fruition. But because God gave Joseph a dream, what did Joseph do? They began to prepare for that calamity. And black folks, you're not preparing. You're so busy watching BET, and every month they got a new award show, dancing and cutting the food, acting the food. You're wilding out, turned up, and they're giving you more and more, as much entertainment as you can bear. All the while preparing for your demise. And you don't even see it coming. Because all your leaders, they packed up. They've gone to high ground. In Baltimore with the neighborhoods and the city descending to Christ dealing with the drug epidemic. In the cities, dealing with Baltimore, they are facing a major crisis dealing with opioids. So amazing that, again, whenever this government needs more money, the first thing they do is they bring that dope game into the black community. Whether you want to believe it or not, again, look it up. Back in the 80s, I'm going to give a quick scenario. Back in the 80s with the Contras, back then the government wanted money to fight the war. And I think it was back then in Iraq, or the Gulf War, and Congress voted not to give any more funds, to this situation, to the war. And what ended up happening because of that is they then implemented crack cocaine, which all this stuff was developed in the third world countries. And I want to say Peru. They had a scientist who cracked cocaine, and they tried it out in Peru first just to see what would happen. And lo and behold, you had the wealthy people in Peru strung out on this drug, man, and people were killing themselves. So they found out that it would work. They brought it over to the states, and they pushed it first in New York City, and, you know, and then California, along with the drugs, they had guns. They said that they woke up one morning, I think it was 1984. They woke up in Oakland, and there was on the train tracks a train full of guns and ammunition just sitting there. And now you have the drug war and the gangs fighting at an alarming rate during that time with the crack cocaine epidemic. And this funded the war, people. This funded the war. Nobody went to jail. Matter of fact, Oliver North, the general, whatever he was, he was almost a model in the whole thing. All supported by the president at that time, Ronald Reagan, and then George Bush Senior. And now you got this opioid going around all over, big in Atlanta, huge in Atlanta. Matter of fact, just yesterday they found two young boys in rural suburbia, blocks away, that bought the drug from somebody and ended up. And what happened, it ended up that these two boys bought the drug from the same drug dealer, and now they're both dead. They're both dead from this drug. And what about the shame that is? This is a wicked, wicked world we live in, man. And what we have to do, man, we have to first begin to get our house in order. I know people talk about unite and become this one, and it was a tragedy that happened in Paris. I think it was in Paris, that bombing that killed 22 people and injured, you know, hundreds more. And what am I ashamed that was? But the bigger shame is, why does it always take death and destruction and terror to bring people together? Then you can't see color. Over and over and over, you're seeing these evil deeds being done. And you write a song about it, you hold your hand saying kumbaya. And months later, you go right back to that foolishness of racism, separatism, division. I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat. So amazing. That's why I say people don't know God. Because if you knew the living God, you'd be trying to act accordingly and godly. And folks don't do godly things until they face horrific things. That's out of God, people. That's out of fear. That is the biggest thing on this planet that is holding us back, fear of the unknown. This is my time is up, man. And I thank you all for tuning in. And I do want to apologize for the continued interruptions. I don't know where that commercial keeps popping in. And but even so, I think we got the message across of what we wanted to say. And as we always say in parting, to love yourselves is to know yourselves. And to know yourselves comes by spending time with God. We love you. And we'll see you real soon. Peace and God bless.
Yay.